When I heard about Secretly Y'all, I thought, what an awesome idea. I came on the Stories from the Workplace night, and I saw the sign-up sheet and decided to tell some of my stories involving conflict. I hope they do something for you. Growing up in a dysfunctional alcoholic household in Waynesboro is akin to being in a war zone, I suppose. From stories I've heard from people who've been through war, it sounds similar. Constant agitation, the feeling of walking around on eggshells, and being prepared for something crazy to happen at any moment. My mom met Clay when I was 3. I remember meeting him for the first time. He came to our house and stood with a wide stance over our floor furnace, hands on hips, and I distinctly remember being scared of him. He had tattoos and a mohawk, and he didn't look like any of the men in my life thus far. I don't remember how old I was when he moved in with us. The first fight that I can remember was when I was 6. I was in first grade. It was mid-December. There were a few inches of snow on the ground. It was probably about 9 at night when it started. He had received a phone call from a cousin of his, and my mom thought it was a girl calling him, a female calling her house. So they started arguing. My brother Sid and I were in our living room, the next room over, when it began. I could hear raised voices, a bitch, an asshole thrown in here and there. Sid and I cuddled up on the couch together, scared, trying to block out the sounds. They got louder. It started sounding scary. My mom came into the living room. She'd been crying. You could tell because her makeup had run. Clay soon followed. They were still yelling at each other, and she said something about his cousin being a slut, and then he pushed her and tore her shirt off. Sid and I became terrified and started crying harder and pleaded with him to stop and leave our mom alone. He grabbed her and dragged her through the kitchen into the bathroom and slammed the door and locked it. My brother and I sat outside that door and listened to him insult and berate her for what seemed like forever. And then we heard the distinct sounds of somebody being choked. The garbled, frantic sound of words trying to escape her throat. The coughing, the gagging, the I can't breathe. Sid and I started beating on the door, afraid that he was killing her. Then the door slams open and my mom's passed out on the floor, eyes open. Sid starts punching her on the chest, pleading with God for her to just wake up. I'm standing there losing my shit, screaming, crying, and asking him why. He picked me up and forced me to look at myself in the mirror and told me how ugly I was for crying. My mom woke up, Clay dragged her into the kitchen, and my brother and I quickly ran back into the living room and turned the TV up as loud as it would go. We were trying to drown it all out. We sat on the couch and hugged and cried and tried not to listen to the terror coming from the other room. Things got quiet, and then we heard it, a gunshot. I thought, that's it, he killed her. My mom came into the living room holding her belly, and I immediately thought that she'd been shot. She opened up her arms to hug us and take us away to the neighbor's house, and I felt the biggest sense of relief when I didn't see any blood. Clay was so wasted that when he tried to shoot her, he missed and he shot the floor instead. We were dressed for bed, t-shirts and underwear. I remember my feet feeling like they were on fire running through the snow across the street to the neighbor's house. I felt so embarrassed when the 12-year-old boy that lived there came out of his room and saw us like that. We stayed there for a bit. Clay tore the house apart and then left before the cops came. My mom kicked him out for probably about 2 weeks before he came back. They had a lot of fights in the years that he was a part of my life. It got to a point where I was afraid to leave her alone with him. Whenever he gave me money to walk to the convenience store close to our house, I knew bad things would happen if I left. I remember coming home once after they'd been arguing, and he sent me to the store. And when I walked in, he was gone, and she was crumpled up on the floor in the kitchen, incoherent, mumbling and crying. That was the day he broke her back by throwing her into the bathtub. One of the last bad fights I remember happened a few months before we finally left. My brother was staying at a friend's house, which he'd taken to doing more and more since the violence had gotten so much worse. My mom and I were at home. Clay'd been out drinking all day and came home and yelled at my mom for no good reason, and then left saying that he was going to a party down the street. We watched TV for a little while and I went to bed. Just as I was falling asleep, I heard him come home. They immediately start arguing. I could hear angry voices, but no words. By this point, I was super sensitive to the sound of raised, angry voices. Then it got quiet and I heard a smack. I heard my mom cry out in pain and I ran into the living room to find her laying on the couch, holding her face and crying with Clay on top of her, straddling her, pinning her to the couch. When he saw me, he screamed at me to go back to bed. I went back into my room and laid in bed with super hearing, listening out for the horror that I'd grown used to. I heard two more smacks before I gathered enough courage to go out again and see what was happening. I walk into the dark living room and flip on the switch, and I see them in the same position as before, but this time her lip is bleeding. I get enraged and scream at him to get off of her. He yells at me to go back to bed, and I stand my ground and refuse. Yell at him to stop hurting my mom. And he says, "You want me to stop hurting your mom?" And he jumps off of her and proceeds to yank her off the couch by her hair and throw her about 10 feet across the room, hitting the wall about 4 feet off the ground where she falls to the floor. I run over to her and she's crumpled up on the floor crying. He's yelling at her, "Tell me where it is." He was looking for his gun. He'd gone to that party, gotten wasted and into an argument with somebody and came home to get it. When my mom saw him in that state, she refused to tell him where it was. So he goes on a rampage, tearing up the house, looking for it, the whole time telling us to get the fuck out of his house. He eventually found the gun and then called the police to get us out of the house. We had a pit bull named Spud that was Clay's dog, and when he'd been trained by Clay to attack anyone on command, to go after black people and cops always. So while we're waiting for the cops to show up, my mom and I are huddled in the corner crying, and Clay has the gun tucked into the back of his pants, and the dog's watching us like crazy. The cops show up, and Clay puts the dog in the bedroom and stands, filling up the doorway with his presence. The gun was tucked into his pants still, and I remember noticing that he faced the cops the entire time. They basically came in and asked what was going on. He told them he wanted us out, and they said that if he wanted us out, since the place was in his name, we had to leave. So my mom told them we had nowhere to go, and they basically said that it didn't concern them, so we left and slept in our car. Things deteriorated pretty rapidly, and it got to the point where we were basically being held captive. By the time we left, my brother and I were not really allowed to be alone with my mom at the same time. When we left, I was 9 and in 4th grade. I was in class when I got called to the principal's office, and my mom had gotten a call from Clay while she was at work. He told her that he wanted her car, and she protested, and he said, "No, I'm taking your car because I know where your kids are." She promptly called our schools and got them in on what was going on. After that, she left work and came to pick me up. I was really scared because the principal told me what was happening, but when I saw her, I got really freaked out because she was frantic. We picked my brother up from his school and went directly to the police station. My mom begged and pleaded for them for a police escort so that we could get our belongings safely. At this time, the law in Virginia wouldn't allow somebody to get a restraining order on another person unless those two people were married. So my mom, who never married Clay, and since she'd always dropped the charges on him, had no cause for the police to escort us, basically. We were at the station for a while before we realized that we're on our own, so my mom tells us the plan. We each get one large trash bag to put our stuff in. Be prepared to never see what you don't put in that bag ever again, and do it really fast because we can't be there if he comes home. We go on our way to the house, and my mom tells Sid and I to sit in the floorboards of the car just in case. About a mile from the house, she sees Clay driving towards us. They slow down and talk window to window in the road, and he tells her that he's going to the store, which is about a 5-minute drive away, to buy steak, and that he'd be back to deal with her in a minute. So we proceed, knowing that we had a maximum of about 5 minutes to get our stuff. He'd said numerous times that he'd kill us if we left, so we all knew the gravity of the situation. We pull up and run in. I grab my boombox, a Milli Vanilli tape, a John Prine tape, a stuffed animal, my Casio SK-1, and whatever clothes are in my dresser. We run out and sped away. My mom had gotten information from the police about a spattered women's shelter, so we went there and stayed there for a week or so, and then with various friends and relatives for a few months. He burned the rest of our stuff, and when he finally did find us, he stalked us for a good 6 months. He'd randomly be right behind us in the aisle at the grocery store, or would show up 5 minutes later pretty much anywhere we'd go. I've gone through years of counseling to deal with a lot of personal issues stemming from growing up this way, and I'm really glad for it. I can stand here and tell you these stories as a self-aware, happy, healthy woman, and I'm a much more interesting person because of it. Thank you.